following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good morning, everyone, from Santa Clara, California. I'm Jim. Tom is next to me, and we are sitting high above the field at Levi's Stadium, where the San Francisco 49ers, no better way to say it than just put a beatdown on the Green Bay Packers 38-7 on Sunday night.
Total beatdown, colossal, I think I used in my story. It was every bit of dismantling as you could possibly do, and we've seen this before. We saw this a couple weeks ago in L.A., and this was the same game all over again.
Yeah, it's which, you know, is a little surprising. I mean, I guess they had the week to get healthy. They changed their routine. It's the bye week. It's not like the 49ers are truly uncommon, having seen them a year ago, having basically seen the same offense run every day in their own practice facility. Mm-hmm. I guess I was just a little surprised, Tom, that that Mike Pettine didn't find any answers to what ailed his group over the bye week, or if he did, they definitely didn't implement it, as they continued to use the big athletic tight ends. They continued to work the middle of the field and give up explosive plays.
Well, I didn't think they were the reason they lost. If your offense is giving you absolutely nothing, eventually you're going to just wear down and you're going to fall apart. You can only hold a good team down for so long. And I thought they actually competed pretty well in the first half and even through the third quarter. But I thought the story of this game was the offense just being absolutely putrid and having no answer whatsoever for what the 49ers did. And really what the 49ers did was said, okay, let's pick one. We don't really know what your offense is, but we're going to pick one guy, and that's Aaron Jones, because he's got 11 touchdowns, and we're just going to take him out of the game. And they did, and then all they were doing was having third and longs the entire game, and their pass rush just destroyed the Packers. It was really pretty pitiful.
Yeah, this was, for all of the team wins they may have had, this was a team loss in that way, Tom, I think. So we'll just stick there first, because I think, when you lose by 31, there's a lot of issues to go over. But, yeah, offensively, I'm a little surprised that coming off the break and supposedly, as Matt LaFleur said, find out what we do well. You're right, it's Aaron Jones, and it was Robert Saleh did a great job against his best friend. Jones wasn't really a factor.
Well, you know? I sort of dare someone to find out or tell me what it is that they do best, because they've run the ball at times, and they've passed the ball at times, but they've never done both really well, and they don't do one thing consistently well. And I think that's been the biggest problem for them. I think that was the biggest problem coming into this game, was that they still don't really have an identity, and they still don't they don't have a bread and butter play. They don't have a bread and butter scheme that they go to. They're sort of a hodgepodge of everything right now, and I think the 49ers finally exposed them for all of that.
Yeah, it's I think I've been saying for a few weeks, they do a lot of things okay. They don't do anything one thing great. But speaking of Aaron Jones, I think since the breakout receiving game in Kansas City, he's got one catch for negative 1 yard. Mm-hmm. I think he was targeted once, didn't have a catch. You know, Jamal Williams was sort of the workhorse, if you will, with 7 catches for 35 yards. The 15-yarder he had, smart play by him that set up the first touchdown, and he stayed in the max protect and you know, became an outlet. But yeah, if Aaron Jones, and honestly, I thought Davante Adams was taken away pretty early too after his unsportsmanlike penalty. You didn't really see him. Now then again, Aaron Rodgers didn't have much time to develop much of that either.
No, I mean, when you're facing third downs, third and six, third and seven, and that's the thing you had to avoid. The 49ers, everybody knows they have a good pass rush, and they have some big guys up front. I don't know. This is something they've really got to look at, which is I think their offensive line's all screwed up. I don't believe that David Bakhtiari lost it in 1 year. He's 28 years old. All of a sudden, he's holding all the time. He's getting pushed back. He's having some blocking issues. And I think it's true all up and down the line. And either the coaches aren't helping them out, or their scheme is something's wrong, or they're not coaching those guys up. You know, I don't know. They got a young offensive line coach. I don't know if things are falling through the cracks or what, but their offensive line is looking terrible of late. And, you know, they should have been able to at least run the ball a little bit against these guys, but they can't get it outside. They run a lot of inside zone. That's really not the heart of this offense. I don't know. I don't know what to say about it other than I think this was really sort of the comeuppance, because they faced a really good team and they did not stand up to it at all.
No, and look, Robert Saleh came up with Gus Bradley, you know, in Seattle, and guess what? It was Gus Bradley doing this exact thing in Los Angeles a couple weeks ago. I mean, the pass rush looked very similar.
Mm-hmm.
The tackles, you know, as you mentioned, Bakhtiari. Now, Brian Bulaga, you know, Tom, so his right ankle, or his right knee's rolled up on by Eric Armstead in the first quarter, leaves the game right away, evaluated, locker room ruled out. And look, I'm not going to predict anything, but reading between the lines, you have Alex Light post-game saying, I got to go get ready for the Giants. Look at the film. Bakhtiari says, I had a talk with him. You're a starter in this league. You have the intangibles. I mean, to me, it feels like those guys already know Brian Bulaga's missing time.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I mean, it's not easy to come off the bench and pinch hit in this league. But, I mean, Alex Light had all kinds of issues at right tackle and pass protection. And it you know, so if that's going to be part of the equation now, Cole Madison lost for the year in practice. So suddenly that line group, as you said, Tom, who's been a little shaky of late, now is definitely shakier on the right side, and a little bit of the depth is now being tested.
Well, I've never thought that Alex Light was a right tackle. He's too small to be a right tackle, and I know they've used him there in a pinch, but I think in this game that was a bad matchup. And I'm kind of surprised they didn't eventually, after trying him, didn't try to go with Turner outside. I don't know if that would have made a difference with Lucas Patrick inside. But Alex Light was giving up too much weight, and Nick Bosa was just getting into his pads and just driving him backwards. And it didn't seem like it took him too long to give him help. And, you know, I just, when your tackle's getting destroyed like that, you got to do something about it. And they didn't. And so they could just never get anything going in the passing game because there was just too much pressure.
Yeah. And it was, Adams, I think, Tom, ends up, you know, seven catches. He does get his first touchdown on the shovel play. But it did. It got away from the Packers early. You know, and I'll agree with you in the sense of, you know, 13-0, you know, the touchdown early. I mean, first and goal at the 2, Packers turn it over. You know, they've been good about not doing that. You know, and the defense, yeah, forced 3 punts. 49ers weren't converting third downs. But I mean, kind of the breaking point, though, Tom, was, you know, the explosive plays started to mount. And the difference, I thought, in this game was they actually found the end zone. You know, in previous weeks, it was between the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Debo Samuel, 48-yard catch and run, mm-hmm. touchdown. That made it 20-0. They give up a 22-yard pass play with 40 seconds left in the half, sets up a field goal. Mm-hmm. And then third quarter, the backbreaker, 61 yards to George Kittle, catch and run wide open. They gave up 12 explosive plays by Mike Pettine's definition, which that's a lot for one
it's
game.
Too many, yeah, and, it's too many.
You know, and again, and you're right, like how many times can you go out there when your offense is three and out, three and out, three and out? However, they didn't get a turnover. Second time all year, or third time, right? I don't think they got one in L.A. You know, they got to Garoppolo a few times, Zadarius and Preston Smith did, but, you know, Kyle Shanahan kept him pretty clean.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's it being outcoached, outclassed as talent, but neither side played that complimentary game.
No, and then, you know, part of the defense is, if they want to use an excuse, the field position was terrible. And, again, that came down to J.K. Scott
third phase
having another crappy game. I don't know what's gotten into him, but he all of a sudden can't hit a 40-yard punt. He was averaging, I think, 45-7 coming into the game. And what did he average in this game, like 30? 7 or 38 or something like that. He averaged
34.8 net with a long of 41.
Yeah, 37.2 average, and he was averaging 45. Five. So all of a sudden they can't get him out of the funk. I don't know. Special teams has been a disaster all year long, and they don't – boy, Tremont Smith nearly turned the ball over on a punt that – an innocuous punt that was rolling. He got a nice bounce at the end and made sure he grabbed it. But there's just nothing you can say about their special teams that's good.
No, and that was, and we've talked about it. We gave J.K. Scott the props earlier in the year when he made that difference, the booming 60-yarders that gave the defense a longer field. You know, the half-ending field goal drive, the 49ers only needed 22 yards. To put their kicker, and I will give that kid credit. I mean, Chase McLaughlin. You know, he's rebounded nicely and made all of his kicks. Mason Crosby didn't get a chance. Matt LaFleur elected to go for it pretty much every fourth down opportunity in field goal range. But yeah, Scott didn't help. I mean, negative punt return yardage still on the season.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, just not a good day. And I guess you know, our colleague Pete Doherty, you know, had the thought post game, like, you know, the head kind of falls on the head coach to a degree. You're coming out of the bye and you know everything about this team you're playing, right? Big time game. It's your offense. I mean, he's never been in this situation before, but.
Yeah, I don't know. It's his fault. I mean, you got to get your players ready. I don't know that they weren't ready. I just think that I just thought the game plan stunk. And they had no idea how to really attack the 49ers. They had no idea how to adjust when they saw what they were doing to them. And I think ultimately Pettine got out-coached too. I think he held in there for a while. They had some nice blitzes, and the pressure was good, and they seemed to be on alert for screen passes. And then they, you know, that Debo Samuel, that was a blitz. You know, he blitzed off the other side, and it was a slant route, and the safety wasn't there to help Tremont Williams, and boom, there's the big play. You know, the Kittle thing, Kevin King had him. I still don't know whether there was supposed to be a safety over the top, but I do know that Kittle turned him around, and that was bad. I mean, that's a corner on a tight end. you know, Kittle's presence is enormous, and it shows you how badly the Packers need a tight end who can do something like that. Kittle helps them. Interesting comments from Shanahan about what Kittle does. And one of the things he does, because he can run block too, is he helps them get outside. He helps them. This whole offense is predicated on getting outside, on running the ball outside. And then once you can get outside, then the defense has to stop you, and then all of a sudden you get the play actions and everything else is open in the middle of the field. And that's what they did with Kittle. They were getting outside and they faked the handoff, and they got people to bite, and he was wide open. That is non-existent in Matt LaFleur's offense. They can't run outside. They're just not built for that, or they're not very good at it. They can't run the wide zone. And, you know, everything tends to get funneled into the middle. And if they don't have the right blocking combinations up the middle, then they just get stuffed like they did on 4th and 1 again. You know, they can't get us 1 yard on a running play. It's if you can't do that, then you're not very good. And, you know, what we have to consider, I think, with this game is that, you know, now's the time when you start to see who the contenders are.
Right.
And we know now that the 49ers are a contender. We've kind of known that. Seattle proved itself to be a contender today by winning on the road against Philadelphia. Tough place to win.
Yeah.
And they won. New Orleans held on to beat Carolina, but they're still a pretty darn good team. And those are, you know, pretty much the premier teams. Minnesota, I think, is still in that running. And the Packers, I don't know if they're in that. I don't think they are. I think they're probably going to win their next 2 games, and then they're going to go to Minnesota, and I will find out whether they're really any good. But right now, you'd have to say they're not a leading team in the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, you lose, you know, the 2 NFC losses, 34 points given up to the Eagles, which, you know, if they had stayed healthy, perhaps that's a playoff team. And obviously what happened in San Francisco. You mentioned, so 2 things real quick. On the touchdown to George Kittle, let's put it this way. No one in the secondary really wanted to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin King just sort of looked at me and only allowed that it was unfortunate that he was left wide open. Adrian Amos did allow that there should have been some help somewhere. He said it was there should be a double back there, but we'll look at the film. And Darnell Savage Jr. didn't really appreciate me asking about that play. And reference, he's just going to have to look at the film. And
which tells you he was probably at fault.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to look at it again. But, yeah, I mean, you can't imagine that you're leaving George Kittle in the middle of the field wide open.
Yeah. So, basically, you know, that action where Jimmy Graham, go figure, Jimmy Garoppolo boots left, and essentially Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage Jr. both moved out of the middle of the field with Dwelly, the other tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And you figure somewhere in there that probably wasn't right to have 2 guys going. So
right.
Now, you mentioned the tight ends and what that meant for the offense. Look, Robert Tonyan was back. Jay mm-hmm. Sternberger was inactive. Tonyan was on the field. He caught a ball from Tim Boyle, I think. Jimmy Graham, they try a beautiful ball, probably the best ball Rodgers threw all night. And I thought he caught it in real time. They ruled it no. Matt LaFleur didn't challenge. I know the broadcast, Tom, their official said it was a clear reception if Matt LaFleur would have challenged. And, you know, who knows with what ifs. I think the head coach is kind of burned out on challenging things.
Well,
so
Jimmy Graham shouldn't drop it.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, there's that
don't
too.
Make sure you have it. And he didn't. You know, those are the kind of catches you got to come down with.
And speaking of, and I don't know, I'm sure Rodgers will say he needed to throw a better ball. I'm sure Marquez Valdes-Scantling will say, you know, he needs to get both feet down. That was the only other deep shot that missed. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a half step where Valdes-Scantling catches the ball but comes down. And in a game like this, Tom, they didn't have enough of those opportunities. And the two times, and we've talked about that at times, where outside of Adams, these other playmakers are only going to get a couple of chances. And they have to make up. They have to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And here is an opportunity. I mean, one would have been a touchdown, and one, you know, that was early enough in the game, Tom. I think that Graham thing is complete. You're down inside the 25.
Yeah, Allison had one over the middle too.
That he dropped right. Down,
he dropped that, killed a drive.
So they just. So to your point, as you started the podcast, you know, Aaron Jones, take him away, right? Or maybe, you know, scheme Rodgers away from Davante Adams, and they just haven't gotten the consistent playmaking from the other guys since, you know, I would say three weeks maybe.
Yeah, they're a little more of a known quantity, and I think once again they don't have, you know, when push comes to shove, they don't have a bread and butter play. They don't have a play where you go, all right, they're going to get 5 yards on this every single time. They don't have anything like that. And I really, they couldn't even get a short game going, you know, with play actions and quick throws. And they tried to throw screens, wide receiver screens, and they couldn't get anything going. It was really futile. Their offense performance was disastrous, and they were what?
They were
1 of 15 on third downs.
Yeah, 0 for 13 with Rodgers on the field.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that is just unbelievable.
Yeah, that was, and that's worse than, I mean, you can exist a little bit. I mean, the 49ers weren't great on third down either.
The 49ers but they're 0 for 6.
Yeah, early. You know? I mean, and so, you know, as long as you can function. As I think they finished 3 for 9,
yeah.
But early, you know, in the first half, they weren't, you know, they were punting, and you can function if you're then efficient on first and second down. And you know, Tom, obviously, we didn't quite agree with how Matt LaFleur played it, but however you play it, you can elevate your entertainment experience at least at Midwest's premier entertainment destination, home to 24/7 gaming, dining, shows, and expanded luxury hotel and full service spa. It's all happening right here at Potawatomi Hotel and Casino. Thanks to them for supporting us. And, you know, you kind of mentioned the reality check of the conference to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and we talked about this earlier in the week, about what a win or a loss means and how a loss, it drops you down to like the third seed as we record this. Record tie with the Vikings. So you're right. You got New York, you got Washington and the Bears. You got 2 of 3 at home. You got 3 bad teams. I mean, they easily could be 11 and 2 rolling into Monday night in Minneapolis, and that's kind of. But we're right back here again, right?
Yeah. Well, here's what I've said before the game, which was that they wouldn't be out of it if they lost. And it wouldn't prove that they're the best team that they won. I still believe that, you know, they're not out of it, but I think the manner in which they lost leads us to believe or know that they're not the caliber of team that the top teams in the NFC are. I just think that they're they may win the next two games, and they'll be 10-3, and then they'll head into Minnesota, and they very well could get their butts handed to them there too. And they're just—they need—they should be at this point in the season. Their arrow should be pointed upward. This should have been a game where they at least competed. If they lost, so be it, you know, but they should have been competitive, and they weren't. And that's what is really telling about this game. That's what you can take from this game more than anything else, is that they were not competitive.
as we kind of wind down here in California, Tom, I'm a little surprised that they look this poor offensively, because I mean if I gave Matt LaFleur the credit earlier in the year for fixing the play calling. So remember, early the scripts worked well, mm-hmm. but then they couldn't do anything after the first set 15 plays. And then you saw him take that into the second half where they were able to run consistent offense. So if I'm going to give him that credit, I had a knock him. You did the week of the self-scout, the across the hall, and dive into what you do. And here we are talking about what do they do? What is their bread and butter play? What, you know, George Kittle talked about, you know, the over route, you know, that 61-yard touchdown. He's like, we do that all the time. Mm-hmm. He's like, that's a 50-yard pass play for us all the time. You know, I guess I'm a little surprised, and if that's the word, disappointed. I did think that offensively they would have shown us what they are. Mm-hmm. Defensively, I'm not surprised that they had these issues. I just don't think they have the personnel to fix these things. But offensively, I think that was my biggest takeaway. I thought they would have had, you know, a handful of like that. Okay, there it is. That's what they do.
Yeah, they don't have that. I think it might be an unfair comparison, and people don't want to remember this about the McCarthy era, but there was a time when they would run this bootleg play to Jordy Nelson for deep balls. That was one of their bread and butter plays, and everybody knew they had it, and they found the right times, and they would hit it. And they don't have anything like that. Now, I know it's his first year, and I'm sure they – going back to McCarthy's first year, I don't remember what their bread and butter was exactly, but they don't have anything that I can think of right now. Maybe you can think of something, but I just don't think of a play or kind of play that I keep thinking, oh, okay, well, they can pull that one out, you know?
And honestly, for me, Tom, it's the Davante Adams touchdown. It's that little shovel pass in the red zone. Mm-hmm. With the guy coming across in motion, but it's a red zone play.
Yeah,
it works
on the goal line. Yeah, it's a
right. But I mean, but in terms of when I see that formation and that movement start to happen, I'm like, that's going to work, you know. And it has. Aaron Jones has run that. Jamal Williams has run that. We've seen it. You know, just this time it was Adams. So, but to your point, first at 10 at the 25, I don't know what it is they're going to do that gets them rolling that way. So
they don't have anything.
So, you know, that'll be, you know, they do get a chance to get well. You know, they do have an interesting schedule this week with, you know, they're going from West Coast to East Coast to play the Giants. You know, and the Giants have some talent in some areas that this team struggles with, namely a big athletic tight end and a big, fast running back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it they should win.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it is the NFL for that reason, Tom. And we'll see. You know, they've rebounded. You know, they rebounded off that Los Angeles loss. So that's what Adrian Amos said. He's like, the only way – I thought the best thing he said, this is a guy coming from a veteran. He's like, we can't let this game beat us twice. So I guess that's the challenge, right? Losing two out of three.
Yeah.
Two bad losses, essentially, on the road.
Yep. Yeah, I think they could win at the Giants. They can win at home against Washington. They probably will. And then, I don't know, some will be convinced they're back on track, and others, I think I'll be one of them, will be like, I don't think it means a thing. Yeah. You know, it just means they're in a better position to make the playoffs. And, of course, that's what you want. You want to get to the playoffs, and you hope that at that point you really catch fire. But this isn't what I think of as a team that's, you know, on an upward trajectory to get to the playoffs. I just don't think you lose games like this without showing a little bit of something. And offensively, they showed nothing.
Yeah. Well, it's on the this is all new for Matt LaFleur and his coaching staff. So we will see. They're going to have their challenges as we you know, find out this week what's going on with Brian Bulaga. So, of course, make sure you subscribe to JSOnline.com, PackersNews.com. Download the app. Turn on notifications so you can get everything from us as it happens this week and every day, every week. You don't want to miss out. So we'll wrap it up from Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. Thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you soon.